Hey everybody, I'm Jim. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's really a pleasure to be here with you guys today. I want to thank Melanie asked me to speak, and it's always a pleasure to speak to any group. It's a special pleasure to speak to you guys because this is my home group for OA, and I'm really pleased to be here to talk to you today. My abstinent date is August 10th, 2022. I have a sponsor, and my sponsor has a sponsor. And I am what we often hear in this room called a double winner. I'm also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And my sobriety date is December 10th, 2008. When I was thinking about this today, and I realized, hey, wait a minute, I got sober and abstinent on the same day of the month, the 10th. I was thinking maybe I should play the lottery tomorrow since it's the 10th day of the month, but we'll see how that works out. I must admit to you that I'm a little nervous today. I'm a trial lawyer by profession, and so I'm used to speaking to groups. But there's a big difference in the speaking that I do at work and the speaking I'm doing now. First big difference is that's always to just a group of 12, as opposed to this big group we have here today. And the second difference is when I'm talking for work, I'm talking about somebody else's failures, somebody else's pain, somebody else's suffering. And today you're asking me to talk about my own, and that's a much different situation. I know the first time I ever spoke at a AA meeting, I talked to my sponsor about it. I was really nervous, and I'll never forget the advice he gave me. He said that anytime we share our stories, there's three stories that we tell: the story we plan to tell, the story we tell, and the story we wish we had told. And he said, just speak from the heart, and it's going to be okay. And I got to tell you, I thought he was brilliant. I thought that was the smartest thing I'd ever heard. And about a year later, he was speaking at a meeting, and I asked him if he was nervous, and he admitted that he was a bit nervous. And being somewhat of a smart ass, I said to him, there are three stories. And he gave me that look. I don't know how many of you have ever seen that look before. It's a look a sponsor gives to a sponsee when they're about to tell them something that they don't know. And he pointed over to his sponsor and he said, that's what he told me the first time I ever spoke. And I realized something very important that day. There's nothing new in AA or OA. We have a shared wisdom that's passed down from sponsor to sponsee, from one overeater to another. And there's also nothing new about me. I am simply somebody who is powerless over food. And when I binge, my life becomes unmanageable. And I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and I made the decision to let him. I can't, he can, I'll let him. It really is that simple. Now, I could probably end here, and you'd know everything important there is to know about me. But since I've been told I have to speak for 20 minutes, I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. When I look back on my life through the lens of OA, I can see that I always had a difficult relationship with food. I could never put sweets down unless forced to. If I was going to eat one, I was going to eat everything that was there. As an adult, I was either on a diet or I was gaining weight. I was on this constant merry-go-round of up and down. I would always catch myself before I got too much overweight. But then I would get down to a normal size and right back up again. It wasn't a good existence. I usually blamed alcohol for my weight gains. It seemed to be an easy thing to blame. No matter how much weight I was at, no matter how much I lost, I always felt that I looked overweight. My self-image was horrible. I didn't face reality that I had a problem with food and a mental obsession. I just simply couldn't face that reality. And like I say, I'm a double winner. I 16 years ago now, I joined Alcoholics Anonymous, and by the grace of God, haven't had a drink since December 10th, 2008. But recently, I came across something very interesting. My early on, when I was doing my steps with my AA sponsor, he suggested that I start keeping a journal, especially as I did the ninth step. He wanted me to keep a journal as a ninth step amends to myself because I was always so hard on myself and always so negative about myself. And so I agreed that I would start doing that. And recently I've been starting to journal again, trying to find some gratitude, I guess. And I went back to my old journal and started using it. And just the other day, I decided, I wonder what I wrote the first day. And I went back to the very first entry and I was shocked, I have to admit. And I would like to read the first entry, the first paragraph I wrote in this journal. I'm sitting here eating candy bars like they are going out of style. Why? Because I am a compulsive, addictive person. I cannot seem to stop once I have started. Much like alcohol. I can't think of a better statement of powerlessness over food than that was. And yet, when I wrote it, I was thinking only about alcohol, not about food. It took me another 11 years to find my way into the rooms of OA. It was stark to me to read it now in the light of being in this program. It was amazing. Once I came into AA, they told me to eat sweets when I ever had an urge to drink. And I mean, that was like giving the keys to the bank to a bank robber. I just ate and ate and ate. I'll tell you a cute little story that sort of personifies it for me. I was in the store one day and I saw this bag of pretzels and they had chocolate on them. And I thought that would be good. That would be a good thing to snack on. So I bought the bag and went home and I opened it up and of course I ate the whole bag. The next day I went to the store and I bought two bags. And I had one bag on the way home and got home and ate the other bag. The next day I got three bags. On the fourth day, I decided to go to a different store because I didn't want the grocery clerk to think that I had a chocolate-covered pretzel problem. And then it dawned on me, this is alcoholic behavior. And so I talked to my AA sponsor, and I told him what I had done. And he said, "Don't worry about it. Nobody ever died from eating chocolate-covered pretzels." And so I continue using sweets. Now, since I've come in here, I've heard this phrase over and over again. Usually I don't want to crosstalk, but Blythe always says it, and it's always meant a lot to me, that Alcoholics Anonymous works because it's one alcoholic talking to another, and Overeaters Anonymous works because it's one overeater talking to another. My sponsor was an alcoholic. He wasn't an overeater. He had not the first idea of what it was like to be an overeater. And he had no basis to help me any more than all those people who aren't alcoholics could understand why I drank the way I did. And that's been important to me to realize that these are two separate programs, and I have to be a part of both of them. And I can't just rely on one to get me through the other. I started gaining weight in my first year. I bet an AA, I gained like 50 pounds. My suits didn't fit me anymore. My shirts didn't fit. I had to buy new suit and new shirts to be able to go to court in. I felt like I looked like a slob, and probably I did. So I was back on the diet merry-go-round again. and up and down, up and down. In 2021, I was really starting to feel depressed, and I knew I had to do something about my binging. I was worried that if I didn't, every time I got that feeling of that desire to eat, I was worried that if I didn't succumb to that, I might use alcohol as a substitute. And I knew I couldn't do that. I have cirrhosis. I almost had cirrhosis of the liver before I stopped drinking, and I knew that to start drinking again meant death for sure. And I was just really, what was I going to do? How could I possibly deal with it? And about that time, the live meetings were starting back up on a limited basis, and I was going to this meeting in Durham, and there was a woman there who was sharing about how she had this problem with food and how Overeaters Anonymous had helped her get through that. And I listened to her do that a couple of times, and I thought, you know, maybe that's the key. Maybe I should try out Overeaters Anonymous. So I looked online and found out where the meetings were in Durham, North Carolina, where I live. And I went to three or four, and I couldn't find the meeting on a single one of them. I couldn't find where they were meeting in that building that they were at. Now, that was either caused by two things. Number one, they just still weren't meeting yet. Or number two, I wasn't really trying very hard to find them. And it's probably the latter. And things just kept getting progressively worse for me. I did have a moment of clarity. It was in Costco here in Durham. That's a weird place to have a moment of clarity. I realized that, but that's where it was. And I was in Costco, and I'm shopping, and a good friend of mine, my closest AA friend, a guy who we started together and we met for coffee every week for like 14 years up to that point, or 12 years up to that point. And he knew everything there was to know about me. And we're standing there, but in this case, and in this case at Costco were these huge cakes. And he's talking to me, and in my mind, all I could think about was, I wonder if I could eat that cake all in one sitting. That's all I could think about. And he walked away, and I pulled that cake out of the case. I put it in my cart, and I started piling stuff on top of it because I didn't want my friend to see that cake. If we ran into get to each other again, it was, and I got home, and of course I did eat the cake, and of course I did get sick, and but it did bring it to light to me that I really had to do something about this binging problem that I had. I just could not continue to go on like I did. So the next day at the meeting that I went to, the husband of the woman who had been to AA was at the meeting, and I asked him if he could tell me where his wife goes to meetings because I'm trying to find an OA meeting. And he sent me to you guys. She had been going to this meeting, and he gave me the Zoom code and the passcode and told me I should come. And when I came here for the first meeting, I felt like I'd found a home of like-minded people. The chairperson that day couldn't have been more gracious to me. She welcomed me. She realized I was new. She made an effort to make sure that I was part of the meeting. She even asked me to read the 12-step promise, the 9-step promises at that meeting. I just instantly fell into this was a place that I could get help. And I will tell you that I was on those pink clouds for many, many months. And I was abstinent and I was feeling better. And I got a sponsor. And we went through the first three steps and we got to the fourth step. And I didn't say this to him at the time. But I was thinking, you know, I've done numerous fourth steps in AA and numerous fifth steps. And I've taken numerous sponsees through the fourth and the fifth step. I don't think I have to do this. And so I just sort of stopped and kept coming to meetings.
Gentle
And
reminder for 5 minutes.
oh, wow. At any rate, I read in the big book we were reading one day. I had a slip, and for a year I continued to slip. I couldn't get abstinent. It's just one bite of something, throw away something in my desk. And a year I went up and down. And one day we were reading on page 73, having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their housekeeping. And I put on in big red letters here, I need to do a fourth step inventory. I realized then that that was the problem. And I did. And I did a fifth step with my sponsor, and I've been able to stay abstinent ever since. I do love my abstinence. I no longer think of myself as being on a diet, which is so wonderful. I have certain foods I can't eat, and I just accept that. And I love this meeting. The fact that we read such small portions of the big book and talk about it in such detail. I've gotten insights into the big book that I never had before in all my years of AA. And if I had a message for anybody that's new or anybody that's really struggling right now, it would be just don't give up. The only in that year of up and downs I had, the only thing I did right was I kept coming to the meeting, and I kept listening and kept being willing to be open to it. And sooner or later, the miracle happened. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a miracle before, but you're looking at one now. And the good news I would like to leave with you today is that I'm looking back at a whole Zoom room full of them. I am very grateful to be abstinent today. And by the grace of God and your help, I have hope that I'll be abstinent tomorrow. I don't know which story you got, but I do know it came from the heart. Thanks for letting me share.